Thank you for joining us this morning, and if you're watching online, again, we welcome you. For those of you who don't know, my name is Olivia, and I am the spiritual formation pastor here at Bethel, and it's just an honor to be able to bring the word to you this morning, and also just speak in this wonderful season that we can celebrate of Advent, where we can just celebrate Jesus and make room for him in our hearts this month. And so I want to tell you something a little bit about myself. And I'm sure some of you guys can probably relate to this, but there is a moment late at night, right before I go to sleep, when everything is finally quiet. How many of you guys just love that moment where you can lay down, just like, silence, no noise. And to add to that, I have no roommates, so I live by myself, so there's no background noise, no conversations happening in the next room. Sometimes I can hear my landlords upstairs, but that doesn't matter. But the lights are off and the house is still, and I'm just lying in bed, just sitting in silence, taking a deep breath, ready to go to sleep. But then, that's usually the moment when my mind loves to wake up and think about everything that I have not thought about yet. Did I respond to that text message? Or did I respond to that email? Oh no, did I forget something to do for church or for an event? I can't forget that appointment. I have to make sure it's in my calendar. Or sometimes my mind loves to remember something from 15 years ago, a mistake I made when I was on my school's soccer team, and I passed the ball to my teammate instead of just shooting it when it was an open net. Why do I always remember that late at night? And again, I'm sure many of you experience the same thing. And the thing is, none of these is really urgent. Nothing's wrong, but yet rest can feel so hard. And it's in those moments I realize that silence isn't the same thing as peace. You can be alone in a quiet room and still feel restless. Your circumstances in your life may be going fine, but you can still be restless and not at peace. And just even when life slows down, peace feels so hard to achieve, and it seems so far away. Or it could be the exact opposite, where nothing's going right, our circumstances are in chaos right now, and again, we don't feel peace. And that's why the Christmas story matters so much. It didn't begin with a calm place, with calm people, but rather it begins with fearful people in the dark and God meeting them there. And maybe that's where some of us are today. On the outside, we look relatively calm. People think we're at peace, we're still, and life hasn't stopped. But maybe life has slowed down just enough for us to notice what's going on in the inside, and we don't feel at peace in our hearts. Because peace isn't just about what's happening around us, it's about what's happening within us. And that's exactly why the announcement of Jesus' birth is so powerful. When the angels approach the shepherds, they don't say, "Good news, everything's about to get easier for you." They say, "Good news of great joy and on earth, peace." Not because their circumstances suddenly changed when they arrived, but that's because the moment Jesus had entered the world. And so this morning, we are going to take a look at Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 20. And so if you want to turn into your Bibles with me and read that along, or it'll be on the screens for you. But again, we're going to take a look at the Christmas story, one that's familiar to most, if not all of us. But I want us to listen to something deeper this morning. This isn't just a story about shepherds and angels and a baby in a manger, but it's about the story of an unexpected gift of peace in chaos, a peace that doesn't wait for everything to be quiet. It shows up in a dark place, and it comes not as an idea, but as a person. So again, let's read Luke chapter 2 together. "That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. And suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them, 'Don't be afraid,' he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by the sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. And suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven and peace to those on earth, to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that had happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was a baby lying in the manger. And after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. Let's pray. Lord, again, we are so in awe of you. We are in awe of the story of how you miraculously came to earth as a humble little baby. You came to this earth to save us and to love us and to bring us peace, an amazing gift of peace that is offered to all of us in the midst of our circumstances and our chaos. And so, Lord, help us to hear what you want us to hear today. Would you speak through me, but speak to your people today, Lord. We love you, and we pray this in your name. Amen. This moment is extraordinary. The angels announce the birth of Jesus, and suddenly heaven breaks into song. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those with whom his favor rests on. From the very beginning, the arrival of Jesus is tied to peace, and that's not accidental. Earlier in the Old Testament, Isaiah had prophesied centuries earlier that the coming Messiah would be called the Prince of Peace. Jesus is not someone who would bring peace to us, but he is the peace that we need. But we need to understand what Scripture means when it talks about peace, because the peace from the Bible is far more than an absence of conflict or an absence of turmoil. Because I think that's actually how we understand peace. It means that we don't have any problems or things are going just right. And of course, that is the peace that Jesus cares about, and it's what he desires to have on this earth. But we know that's not a reality until he comes back again. It's not the full picture. And again, the angels aren't promising an easy life, but they're announcing that God has come near and he is peace. In the arrival of the Messiah, a new reality begins because peace is no longer something we have to chase. It's been brought to us already. And when we read the story closely, something surprising begins to emerge. We can see that peace doesn't arrive in perfect circumstances. And we see that peace does not arrive in perfect places, and it's by no means announced by perfect people. And so, let's take a look at this deeper. Our first point, God's perfect peace isn't reliant on perfect circumstances. When we think of a perfect Christmas, I think there are different things that we picture. For me, I picture a beautifully decorated tree with the fireplace going on my TV because I don't have a fireplace. You know, some Christmas jazz in the background, hanging out with my friends and family, eating some delicious cookies that my Oma made. And I'm sure this is what a peaceful Christmas looks like to you guys as well. But when we look back at the first Christmas, that's not what it looked like at all. There was no decorations, no nostalgia, nothing was perfectly curated, just shepherds in a field at night, tired, overlooked, doing the most ordinary work. And suddenly the sky fills with the glory of God. And again, Scripture didn't say that the shepherds felt peaceful. They were terrified by this. And that matters because we can see that peace did not come once fear was gone, but peace came into fear. And this challenges me, and I'm sure it can challenge you guys as well, because I am a planner. I like to have everything organized, thought through, meticulously planned, and predictable. And it's when everything is in line that I feel calmer and I feel at peace. And I've noticed in myself that when things don't go according to plan, my peace can disappear very quickly. Like this morning, I came in church early to practice my sermon, to go over my slides and put them on the computer. But you know what? The computer did not work for me, and it took me way longer than I anticipated, and my peace left so quickly. And I thought, Lord, this is very funny that I'm preaching about peace, and I have none right now. But again, things didn't go according to my plan, and I'm sure you guys can relate to that. How quickly we can feel uneasy when things change. And it's not because God has left, but it's because we've tied peace to our expectations. The Christmas story reminds me that God didn't wait for perfect circumstances. And let's be honest, we wait for perfect circumstances for our peace, right? And if we look back at Israel's expectations for their Messiah, this is also not what they expected. When we look at the Bible, we know that Israel was longing for a political conqueror. They wanted a ruler who would overthrow Rome and restore power to their nations. But let me just tell you, Jesus didn't fail to meet their expectations. He exceeded them by redefining them. And sometimes that's what God needs to do in our life. He doesn't ever fail our expectations, but he just redefines them and makes them better. And how many of you know that when we have certain expectations, God always seems to do something way better than we can ever think or imagine? Let's take a look at Mary for a second. When we look back a couple weeks ago in our Advent series, when we were talking about the Immaculate Conception in her, and this was by no means a perfect circumstance for the Messiah to come for her. It threw her life for a spiral. It brought on social shame to her. And then to add on to that, when she was ready to give birth, there was no room in the inn. There was no privacy or comfort for her. The Savior of the world enters humanity in a stable. Who would have thought that's what Mary planned for when she was going to give birth to Jesus? It was imperfect. It was chaotic and uncontrolled. And yet that's where God chose to work. God brought peace into imperfect circumstances, not after they were fixed. And Luke tells us later, after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and the angels had said to them about this child. All who had heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept these things close to her heart and thought about them often. While others move on and glorify God, Mary pauses and she reflects, and she tries to discern what God is doing. And I think Luke is inviting us to do the same. Embedded in the story is the truth that we still need today. When we base our joy and peace on circumstances, we give those things power to steal our joy and our peace. If joy is dependent on our circumstances, then circumstances control it. If joy equals success, then failure steals it. If your joy equals your relationships in life, then conflict will steal it. If it equals income, then a downturn will steal it. If it equals approval, then rejection will steal it away. But when our peace is rooted in something deeper, someone greater, then even when our circumstances change, our peace will remain and our joy will remain. And this is the kind of peace that Christmas is announcing to us. The way that Jesus entered the world in humility, vulnerability, and imperfection shows us something about God's nature. It shows us that he's not limited to our imperfect circumstances, but rather he works in them, he provides through them, and he brings life out of them. The arrival of the greatest gift ever came through a less than perfect condition, and with that arrival came peace. That's not distant from us, it's not someday, but it's actually right now. How many of us know that God often does his most beautiful work in imperfect situations? That it's been in our trials, our difficult circumstances that arise the most beautiful testimony of God's grace and his faithfulness. Now listen to the angels announce this moment. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And I want us to take a specific look at how the angels called Jesus in his announcement. This isn't just a birth announcement. It's the entire gospel summarized in three titles. The first one, the Savior. He's our deliverer, our rescuer. He forgives us our sins and rescues us from them. He is the Messiah. He is the anointed one, our priestly representative to God. He is the one that has bridged the gap from sin to everlasting life with the Father. And he is the Lord, the creator and master with authority over all. The good news isn't just that a baby was born. It's that God entered an imperfect world bringing real peace. And so I think we can all look at this and say that scripture is clear when we say that peace does not come from perfect circumstances. It comes from trusting Jesus. John 14:27 says, "I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace that I give you is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid." Isaiah 26, verse 3, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." And Micah 5, verse 5 tells us plainly that he will be our peace. God is not someone who just brings peace. He is peace. He is to be our peace. And this is the invitation of Advent. While God is infinitely higher, he is above us, yet he chose to draw near to us through the birth of his Son, inviting us into his presence and into his perfect peace. While we are always in pursuit of peace, peace is not found in everything going perfectly, but it's found when we are in the presence of Jesus. And next we'll see that peace doesn't just ignore imperfect circumstances, but God's perfect peace shows up in imperfect places. I think most times in life, when we want to have an experience or an encounter with God, we always expect it in the miraculous ways, in supernatural, unmistakable moments. And this is true. You know, we have amazing encounters with God when we gather together in church, when we are in life group, you know, when we are in worship together. And we see that in the Bible, you know. God showed up for Moses in the burning bush. God parted the Red Sea for the Israelites to cross it. And he also showed up in the wilderness providing manna and quail from the sky. But we have to remember that more often than not, God also moves in the mundane and when we least expect it. And when the angels appear to the shepherds, they make a staggering announcement. "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." This is the moment that Israel had been waiting for. 400 years had passed since the last Old Testament prophet, and they had years of silence and longing and hoping and praying. And finally, the angel said, "The Messiah is here, and this will be the sign. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth lying in the manger." Now, if I was one of the shepherds and I heard the angel say this, I would be rather confused. Because what do you mean that the Messiah of the world will be in a manger, in a stable, in a feeding trough for animals? The Messiah, he wasn't born in a palace, not even in a guest room. He was born in the borrowed corner of a crowded home with no room for them. A space that no one would imagine, no one would choose, or no one would associate with peace or with royalty. And yet this is exactly where God showed up. Because God is not circumstantial. He's not limited to buildings or time slots or environments. He's not limited to our ideal conditions. God's perfect peace reveals itself in imperfect places. His peace shows up in dark hospital rooms, in stressful work days, in our quiet apartments, exhausted evenings. It shows up in stables and fields, mangers, in our work cubicles, in hallways and coffee shops. Some of the clearest moments I have experienced the peace of God was in the hospital room after my father passed away, and it made no sense why I felt so at peace, but God's presence was there. I have had so many clear encounters with the Lord and big spiritual moments while I'm driving in my car, listening to worship music, or sometimes in silence, and sometimes those are the moments where I have the biggest revelations. Or sometimes it's been on walks in nature or having conversations through friends. Nothing about the circumstances changed, but God met me right where I am. Let me give you an image that helps capture this. There is a plant that's called a moonflower. And if any of you guys are green thumbs in the room, you know that most plants need a sufficient amount of light to bloom. They need the right kind of sunlight, so either partial or full sunlight. They need warmth, ideal conditions, good soil. But there is something about the moonflower that is different and special about it. They are nocturnal plants. And so during the day, they're barely noticeable, maybe their bloom being an inch or two wide. But once the sun sets, something extraordinary happens. It's in the darkness that the moonflower opens up 6 to 7 inches wide and releases a beautiful fragrance. It blooms in conditions that seem least suited for its beauty. And that's exactly how God's peace works. Just as the moonflower blooms when darkness falls, God's peace blooms right where life feels heaviest, when it feels messiest, when it feels darkest. That's where God's peace shows up. And again, we often think of peace as an absence of conflict, freedom from disturbance, tranquility. But the peace that Jesus offers us right now goes deeper. And again, Philippians 4 verse 7 calls it a peace that surpasses all understanding. A peace so real that it doesn't even make sense why we feel that way. It's not circumstantial. It's not fragile, and it doesn't disappear when life gets hard. The manger reminds us of this truth. There is no place too humble, too messy, or too ordinary. God doesn't wait for our circumstances or our location to be perfect. He brings his light into the darkness. And the peace that you're longing for may not come from a big dramatic moment, but it comes quietly. Faithfully, right where you already are. It doesn't require a perfect light, but rather, it requires an open heart. It requires submission from us. And if we're honest, I think this peace feels more than necessary right now. Anxiety, oh, Siri, what are you doing? Oh.
Sorry, I can't help
that. Siri wants to hear about God's peace, that's what. Okay, oh, I turned it off, whoops. Okay, let's go back. Anxiety is on a rise right now. Social psychologist Jonathan Haidt has called Gen Z the anxious generation. And if we're honest, it's not just Gen Z. I think it's all of us to some degree. Okay. Sorry. There are many forms of peace that are good gifts from God. Like, I think we can experience a form of peace through rest and quiet and resolution, but none fully capture what the angels announce or what Jesus means when he says that he leaves his peace with us. It doesn't leave. It's not dependent on circumstances. And its ultimate aim isn't just to calm our inner lives, but to move outward into a world that's desperate for peace. God's peace doesn't show up in imperfect places. And next, we'll see that God's perfect peace is proclaimed by imperfect people. The story doesn't end with the angels singing. After the song fades, Luke tells us something simple but powerful. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, The shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." I love this line so much, where they all agree together and say, "Let's go to Bethlehem and let's go find Jesus together." And so they go to the city of David. They find Mary and Joseph, and they see the baby lying in a manger. And Luke tells us something remarkable. The shepherds don't keep quiet, but rather they tell everyone what they had seen and heard. These shepherds are not only the first people to hear the good news, but they actually become the first people to proclaim the gospel. They were the first evangelists on earth. And culturally speaking, they were not the ideal candidates for this. Shepherds were considered outcasts because of their constant contact with livestock. They were often ceremonially unclean and excluded from temple worship. They were unable to participate in religious rituals due to their schedules. They had no titles, they weren't educated, they had no social standing. Luke doesn't even name them, just shepherds out in the fields. But God chose them to proclaim the gospel. There's something deeply significant happening here. On one hand, we have the angels in these radiant beings of heaven declaring God's glory. And on the other hand, we have the shepherds who are the most ordinary workers on an ordinary night receiving heaven's announcement. We see that heaven meets earth here. The angel's message is good news of great joy for all people, and God is making it unmistakably clear. The peace is not reserved for the powerful. It's not reserved for the impressive or the religiously elite, but it's actually for everyone. And that matters for us because God didn't call people based on position or popularity. He didn't call people based on our education or our eloquency. Peace is proclaimed by people who don't feel qualified. He called the shepherds. So if you've ever thought, "I'm not spiritual enough to proclaim the gospel, I don't know enough scripture to go evangelize, my past disqualifies me, I've done too many bad things, someone else is better suited for this than me." I'm going to be honest, I don't think that's humility. I think that's just a lie from the enemy. The Bible is filled with story after story of unqualified people being called to proclaim a life-changing message of God's peace and love in their lives. The gospel is great news and therefore produces joy for all people. God started at the bottom of the social ladder. And look at the results of the shepherd's proclamation. There are three things that happened. All who heard were astonished. Mary treasured these words in their heart, and she held on to them for later suffering to give her strength and peace. And the shepherds returned to their field. Their circumstances or their jobs did not change. Their status didn't change, but they had changed. They went back to the same place with a new peace because they had encountered Jesus. And here's the truth for us today. Your circumstances may not change immediately when you encounter Jesus, but you can be changed right now. That's where peace comes from. It doesn't come from our perfect circumstances. It doesn't come from us having it all together. It doesn't come from where we live, where we are, where we work. It doesn't come from our perfectness. But it comes from the perfect Savior who meets us where we are, who meets imperfect people, and he sends them out carrying his peace into the world. How many of you know our world needs peace right now? They really need peace. And you know who brings them that peace? We can, because Jesus works through us to bring the world peace. So the shepherds, they return to the same fields, the same night shifts, and the same responsibilities. And again, nothing on the outside changed, but they did change because they had an encounter with God. And so if you're waiting for life to calm down before you experience peace, I have something to say to you. You're going to be waiting a really long time for peace. But if you're willing to encounter Jesus in the middle of your circumstance, in the middle of where you are, in the middle of your mess and your darkness, peace can meet you right now. today, right now. It can meet you when you go home, on your car ride home. It can meet you at work. And maybe your challenge is this. If you've been waiting for God to send someone else because you don't feel good enough or spiritual enough or qualified enough, hear this clearly. God has always used imperfect people. God always used imperfect people to proclaim his gospel. The shepherds were by no means impressive. The setting wasn't ideal, and the circumstances were not peaceful, but God worked through it. And so if you're tired, if you feel overlooked, if you feel unworthy, if you feel stuck in the same circumstance, you are the person that God wants to meet today. Your circumstance will not change today, but you can. Peace doesn't come from escaping your mess or your circumstance, but it comes from meeting Jesus in it. And so I'm going to invite you to stand with me. We're going to continue back into worship, but this is a moment for us to respond, not with striving, not with perfection, but with surrender. You're simply invited to sit in the presence of the Prince of Peace. And if you're comfortable, I want to invite you to raise your hands with me. And if you don't know what lifting your hands in worship means, it's a way of saying, God, I release control. I surrender to you. I'm open. I need you. It's an outward expression of our inward heart posture. So as we sing, you may want to just hold your hands like this or raise your arms in worship. But let this be a physical reminder of what your heart is doing before God. And let this be your prayer right now. Jesus, meet me here. Meet me in my mess, in my imperfect circumstances. God, I need your peace. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father, would you clothe me with your peace?